Galatians chapter 1. We'll be reading, starting in verse 1, we'll be reading through verse 10. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom he glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to gather together. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can hold this book, your holy scriptures, in our hands and read them and trust them. That they are true, they are right. And we thank you that as we place our faith and trust in you as the only way of salvation, that your Holy Spirit then dwells within us, giving us understanding as to what these words mean and how they apply to our lives. Please help us, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you through this time in the service. We worship you as we listen to you. Lord, as I proclaim your truth, help me to be in awe of you. And I pray that each one of us would respond as we grow in the knowledge of your Son, as we understand more about what your word says, that we would respond in awe of you. You are worthy. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of our sacrifice, us living a life of sacrifice to you. May it be holy and acceptable unto you. It is our reasonable service, Lord. Guide us now as we consider these truths. May you be magnified. May you be honored and glorified. And Lord, may we be changed. Changed more into the likeness of your Son. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see at the top of your outline there, some memory verses. A couple of those may be pretty familiar, but just as we have done in the past, just read over them. And by the time we're done with this study, I trust that they will be firmly imprinted upon your mind. But we see there, these are key verses for the study that we are beginning today. Galatians 5:16 and verses 22 through 23, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Today we begin a study called a Spirit-filled walk. A Spirit-filled walk. As we have just learned, just finished up the study of being a useful vessel. A useful vessel is one that is fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. We see that in 2 Timothy 2:21. It is one who is able to be used of God for his purposes and for his glory. In studying our usefulness to the master, we found in Colossians 3:15 through 17 how our usefulness is dependent upon having a renewed mind that is filled with the Word of God. Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And this is key. Verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." As we studied through that, we saw that a useful vessel has a renewed mind by growing in their knowledge and understanding of sin. Their need to repent of that sin, just confession and forsaking that sin, putting it off so that is no longer a part of their life. The renewed mind helps us to see sin as God sees sin. And as a result, we don't want to have any part of it. And we put it off daily. We put that sin off through confession, repentance. But we also saw that a useful vessel has a renewed mind by growing in their knowledge of Christ and their need to grow in Christ's likeness by putting on Christ's essential virtues. We're studying those in Sunday school as we see the essential virtues in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. What we do as a useful vessel is that we learn to take on Christ's mindset of seeking to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." It's a useful vessel's mindset. A consistent life of usefulness is only done by God's grace. Are we able to be a useful vessel in our own strength? No, not at all. We're going to fall short of that. But with the help and work of the Holy Spirit, we can live a consistent, faithful life of usefulness. And that's our desire. The Christian walk is to be a walk of usefulness. Christian walk is to be a walk of imitation, a walk that points others to Christ. So here we consider where we have been, speaking of our usefulness, and where the Lord is leading us as considering our need to maintain usefulness or seek to be diligently useful as we are Spirit-filled in our daily walk with Christ. Consider this. Father and son arrived in a small western town looking for an uncle whom they had never seen. I guess the son had never seen this uncle. The father obviously had. The father, pointing across the square to a man that was walking away from them, exclaimed, "There goes my uncle." His son asked, "How do you know when you have not seen him in such a long time?" "Son, I know him because he walks exactly like my father." You recognize the walk. You recognize who they are imitating. If we walk in the Spirit, the world should know us by our walk. If we walk in the Spirit, the world should know us by how we walk. Am I saying literally how we put one foot in front of the other? Obviously, no. Walking in the Spirit is a walk of faith, a walk of conduct, how we act, how we talk. Whether the Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." That is to be our walk. That is to be our walk. Today, we begin our study considering our usefulness in being led by the Spirit, in turn having a Spirit-filled walk. In order to be continually filled with the Spirit, we must be faithful in being daily filled with His Word. Is the Word of God rich in your lives? Are you getting into it daily? As Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, in those four verses, he says, "I want to remind you. I want you to remember. And after I die, I want you to remember what I've said. I want you to remember these things." How do we remember these things? We need to be reminded of those things. How are we reminded of those things? By getting into the Word. And how often do we need to get into the Word? As often as it takes so that you don't forget.
And if you're anything like me, if I'm not in the Word daily, if I'm not reminded daily of it, I forget. I try to write things down as Karen and I talk about scheduling things, and it is often, if I'm not reminded over and over and over again, we come to the day and she says, "Are you ready?" "Ready for what?" "I forgot." "Why?" "Because I didn't do something diligently to remind myself of what was to take place at that time."
Is it any different in our Christian walk? Being diligent in the Word of God is vital to our being used of God, usefulness to God, filled with the Spirit. We need to be yielded to Him through His Word. So Spirit-filled walk is vital to our usefulness to Christ and His work. A Spirit-filled walk is vital to our usefulness to Christ and His work. Let us never forget that. So, obviously, we're going to look at the walk of the Christian as we go through this study. Christian living, and ultimately, understanding Christian liberty. Christian liberty. Someone wrote these words. He says, "Christian liberty is not a pass to do whatever one pleases, but neither is pleasing God a list of do's and don'ts. Instead, Christian liberty is the power to serve God and others with joy." Christian liberty is the power to serve God and others with joy. Are there a list of do's and don'ts? Sure. Are there a list of things? Are there standards? Yes. What we're going to look at today is the contrast between legalism and license, and how biblical Christian liberty brings us to a biblical balance. Liberty and license, or legalism and license, are the extremes of Christian liberty. We're going to look at that today, just as we introduce this study. So, here we are in Galatians. The book of Galatians was written to a group of churches in the province of Galatia. Paul had visited this group of churches, planted these churches, as I understand it, in his first missionary journey, as we see in Acts 13 and 14. Galatia is a province, or there's multiple cities within that province, and it is modern-day central Turkey. All right. The tone of the letter is very combative. Paul dismisses with his normal pleasantries and gets right to the point of addressing the problem, this problem of another gospel. When Paul first brought the gospel to these people, he had communicated with them the liberating gospel of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And he receives word that false brethren, as we see in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage." We see that Paul received this word about these false brethren with another gospel, had come into the church in order to bring us into bondage. Another gospel. Paul, as a protective shepherd, under-shepherd of God, he goes into attack mode. Right? Why? Because this is important. You don't mess with the gospel. He goes into attack mode, seeking to confront two dangerous problems these churches were facing, and ultimately we still are facing, and that's legalism and license. Where this false gospel, ultimately what it leads to. And so first we look at Roman numeral 1, where Paul confronts legalism. Paul confronts legalism. We're looking at verses 6 through 8, really 6 through 9, you could say, in chapter 1. Paul writes these words. Consider verse 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into this grace of Christ unto another gospel." Paul is surprised at how quickly these saints are changing sides, being removed. Literally speaks of changing loyalties. another gospel. As false brethren had come into the churches of Galatia and started teaching a different message, it appears that their message included the message of Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, who died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? How's that another gospel? Well, it's another gospel because of what they said next. They held to the fact that a person, in order to be saved, needed to trust in Christ. That's good. That's right on. But the problem was that they didn't stop there. They added to the gospel, thus preaching a message of another gospel. And ultimately, this message came from Judaizers, which came from Jerusalem. It seems to be a group of Pharisees that got saved, but felt that it was necessary to maintain Judaism as a believer. So what they did is they took and were trying to hold the Gentiles to the Mosaic covenant, to the degree that if you don't hold to those, then you are not saved. It's legalism. Legalism is adding to the gospel. It's Jesus plus something. We'll develop this as we go through this study. The book of Galatians is Paul's great letter challenging the people. Don't go this route. Hold fast to the truth of what God says, God's word, the simple message of faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. Consider verse 7. Paul says about this gospel, this another gospel. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What is he saying? This phrase, which is not another. This Greek word translated another is also used in John 14:16. John 14:16 is the passage in which Christ is in the upper room, and he's talking about what God will send. That God will send, the Father shall give you another comforter. Both Greek words there are of for another are the same word. In essence, as we understand in John 14:16, that another comforter is another of the same kind. Another of the same kind as Jesus himself. Speaking of deity, speaking of when Christ will leave, God will still dwell with man, but he will indwell man. Another of the same kind. Back in Galatians 1:7, Paul is saying this is not another of the same kind of gospel. This is not another of the same kind. Therefore, it is no gospel at all. It is not the good news. If you take Jesus Christ and add to him, you are removing that as being the gospel. He goes on to say, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. These men who came in, they were professing believers. Yet their message is a perversion of the truth. What they added to the gospel was that a Gentile who places their faith and trust in Christ must also adhere to the Mosaic law, specifically the rite of circumcision, in order to receive the security of salvation. Historically, this teaching has been called legalism. Legalism is not an outright denial of Christ and his work in our salvation. What it does is it adds certain works in order to have secular or secure standing before God. Legalism then is Jesus plus works. In the end, it is no salvation at all, for anything added to Christ's work takes away the sufficiency of salvation in Christ alone. What did Jesus say on the cross? What did he mean when he said, "It is finished"? What did he mean? It is finished. It's complete. No more needs to be done. This is it. That is all. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How important was this issue to Paul? Well, verse 8 and verse 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Strong language there. And he is adamant about this. He repeats himself. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Why is this so important? Because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Paul's writing these churches to warn them of the destructive nature of adding anything to the gospel. He's also writing this letter to warn them against another dangerous extreme. That was the practice of Christian license. So we see Roman numeral 2, Paul confronts license. He confronts legalism, adding anything to salvation. But he also confronts license. If you turn over to chapter 5, verse 13 of Galatians, we see Paul writes these words, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Here we are introduced to liberty, which we will develop as we go through this. Liberty. What is liberty? What happened when you placed your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation? Before you were a child of God, you were a slave of sin. You were in bondage to sin, were we not? You were under the bondage, the power of sin. What did Christ do upon the cross? He broke the power of sin. And as we enter into a saving relationship with Christ alone by placing our faith and trust in Him alone for salvation, what happens? That power that power of sin is broken in our lives. We are no longer in bondage to sin. We have been freed from sin. With regards to freed from the power of sin, we haven't been freed from the presence of sin. We still have that flesh that we deal with. And thank the Lord, once we stand and see Christ face to face in glory, that presence of sin will be removed. And we look forward to that day when that happens. But as we see here, we have this liberty. You're free from sin. You're free from, ultimately, the law. Now, Paul says, you're using liberty. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. It's to take advantage of the freedom that we have in Christ to the point of abuse. It's a matter of lust versus love. Lust appeals to our self, our flesh, in selfishness, while love appeals to service and selflessness. When we take our liberty that Christ has freed us from sin, and we say, you know what? If you will, it's the ticket to heaven mentality. I have a ticket to heaven. I can live any way I want. What are we doing? We are enslaving ourselves to the flesh. We are placing ourselves in bondage still. Legalism places us in bondage to works. License places us in bondage to the flesh. Liberty frees us to walk in the Spirit. Liberty truly frees us so that we can live according to God's standards. Christian liberty is not license to sin. Christians abuse this liberty by taking license to do away with any standard of holy living. Oftentimes we'll see that I'm free. Christian liberty means that I can live however I want. I can do whatever I want. And it's a justification for doing things that God clearly says no.
And it's a justification. You get a response. It's like, don't judge me. Christian liberty, I can do this. I'll find it in chapter and verse where God says, thou shalt not, so therefore I can do it. But ultimately, what are we doing when we go that route? We look like the world. When we allow that liberty to justify us looking no different than the world we live in, it's become license. It's license to sin. And that is not what God has given us, has He? The goal of the Christian license is to free oneself, yet the reality is that we place ourselves in bondage to our flesh in the name of Christian liberty. The end result is ruin and defeat. How do we grow in our Christian faith when we're living in license? How do we grow in our Christian faith when we're living in a legalistic mentality? We don't. God's design is that we would live walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, live according to His standards of liberty and move forward. So, Roman numeral 3, we must understand that with liberty comes responsibility. The way that we can enjoy liberty biblically is to walk in the Spirit. So Paul challenges us to walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit is to be Spirit-filled or controlled as a habitual lifestyle. A habitual lifestyle. It is to be led by the Spirit of God, submitting to His control by responding in obedience to the simple commands of Scripture. It's being sensitive to the Spirit's leading. How can we do this? There's humility. Legalism and license are both filled with pride. Christian liberty is being humble before the Lord, being sensitive to His leading, getting in the Word. In order for us to be Spirit-filled, we need to be Word-filled. In order for us to be truly Word-filled, that means Word-controlled. Ephesians 5:18, where it talks about be filled with the Spirit, is to be controlled by the Spirit. Well, in order for us to be controlled by the Spirit, we need to be being controlled by the Word daily. That leads to a habitual lifestyle of being sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Then we're not going to be perverting the gospel into a legalistic, regimented standards of living. I'm not against standards. But there comes a point where those standards are going too far. But it also keeps us from going to the extreme the other way, where we just have license to do whatever we want. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us. Be sensitive to His leading. Be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. Proper Christian liberty, walking in the Spirit, leads to a life filled with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You will see love, agape, just overflowing one's life. You will see a life of joy. You will see a life of patience. You will see a life of just filled with peace and goodness. Someone who is filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God, will be overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit of God. This is the place of usefulness. This is most pleasing to God. This is a life that pleases God. That is what we are called to. So as we go through this process, we're going to consider how we need to be combating these extremes and resting in what God says about true biblical Christian liberty and submitting to what Christ says, submitting to being led by the Spirit of God in His way through His Word.
preparation for next Sunday, I'd encourage you to read Galatians 5. As we consider how God wants to use us as we seek to be filled with the Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together. Thank you, Lord, that you show us the right way of living. Lord, help us to seek to ever be filled with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to ever seek to be controlled by your word. Being sensitive to your Spirit and being led with even the most minute details, the most minute decisions of life, may we bring them before you. And may we, Lord, submit to you, be yielded to you. Help us, Lord. Lord, our desire is to be used of you for your honor, for your glory, and not to be a stumbling block to others. Our desire, Lord, is to be used of you in such a way as to bring you much honor and glory. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have of having our own copy of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your all-sufficient grace to help us live this life in accordance to your will. Go with us now as we go through the remainder of this day. May we seek to honor you. May we seek to diligently dig into your word. May we seek to be changed by you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.